a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah, I don't wanna do your dirty work no more. I'm a fool to do your dirty work. Oh yeah.
Hey there, lollygaggers. Another week on tap here at Lollygagging Sports. I am Bo Reed along with Samantha Button and Matthew Irby. Samantha, I don't know, maybe, just maybe, that opening audio might have something to do with something later in the show. Tossing it out there. Or maybe I just
I
like
think
the,
I know what it...
Go ahead.
Maybe you like who? Wait, maybe, who is it? Who sings that? Someone from the 70s, right?
Yeah, I was gonna call it Yacht Rock, and then I caught myself like, I don't know if that's Yacht Rock. Is that Yacht Rock? I feel like it's Yacht Rock.
I don't think so.
No.
Who's the artist?
That I don't know.
How do you have songs and not know who the artist is? I don't think that's Yacht Rock, but I do believe it to be Yacht Rock adjacent, okay, based on the sound. It's a bit too folky for Yacht Rock.
It's Steely Dan.
Ah, thank you.
Yeah, that's not Yacht Rock.
No. Well, maybe I am teasing something for later in the program. But first, how you doing? Samantha, how's it going? How's it going up there in Boston?
I'm okay. I'm actually in Maine.
Oh, that's right.
I won't be back in Boston or move to Boston to my new house. Actually, it's not a new house. It's like 100 years old. It's new to me. But we will be in Boston at the end of the month. We're right. Still in Maine right okay. now. So I have some flooding, and I need 3 runs. But otherwise, I'm fine.
Not necessarily in that order, right?
I'd rather have the 3 runs. Like, I don't actually need to get in the car and go anywhere, like, tonight. So, I need 3 runs sometime in the next 3 innings. I need 3 runs.
Is that to tie, or is that to go ahead?
That would be to go ahead. That would be to win.
Okay, all right. So, 1 run an inning. That doesn't seem too... ridiculous.
Like, actually, yeah. Well, I've got 4 innings. I've got 4 innings to go.
Well, there you go.
I have 5. It's only the bottom of the 5th. So, well, I have 4 1/3 innings. I don't have any base runners right now. So, aren't you all happy to listen to me, like, live call sort of the Guardians game for a game that will be over by the time you hear this? Like, this is really unnecessary. I just need 3 runs. That's all I'm saying. And then I'll be happy.
Irby, how about you? I know where you're at. Apparently, I don't know where Samantha is.
Do you know where I'm at? Yeah, no, I'm at home. All is well. I needed 3 runs. That's how I'm different. It's past tense. Mine is definitely past tense. I needed 3 more runs. But that's okay. That's okay. Everything is good. The school year has started down here.
Yeah.
So we're dealing with that.
Oh, yeah.
Back in school. I got a high schooler. Man, I'm getting old.
You have a high schooler?
I have a high schooler.
Man, how's that feel?
Fine. He's loving it, so that's all that matters.
Wild to me that you have a high schooler, and also wild to me that school has started. Like, we're still on summer vacation. Like, we have almost a month before school starts. So weird to me.
Yeah, I've noticed how it's slowly gotten more and more. I mean, I get why we're doing it. August can be just so blah down here, so... Let the kids have summer in May when it's much nicer weather. So I get that. But yes, it is early. I don't know. I can't. So yeah, I'm all good. Switching into cross country season. I know, Samantha, you're excited about that one too.
I am.
Yay.
Very excited. I can't wait for the first meet. This poor child has so many adults like hovering over. It might just be 3. It might just be me, you, and Amy. But I think there may be more somewhere.
Other no, there's a few others.
Have become interested in this, and we all just hover over all this. He's the oldest of the group. You know what I mean? So, like, yeah. he's gonna get most of it. So, others are not old enough to be playing meaningful sports yet. So, take the heat off in like a couple more years.
All right. Well. You guys ready for some rapid fire? Samantha,
yeah,
you ready for some rapid fire? Okay.
Yeah.
Well, let's rock and roll.
Ready?
Yeah.
All right. So, 10 questions. They just have to answer. They don't get to think about it. They don't get to explain themselves. Some of them have right answers. Some of them don't. They will have the opportunity to come back and explain one of their answers at the end. First off, Josh Naylor, base stealing machine. He has 11 stolen bases in 15 games with the Mariners, which matched his total for, what, 93 games that he played in Arizona? And it's also more than he has ever had in a single season. So, you guys, just how is Josh Naylor stealing bases? He's fat. He is slow. And yet, he is stealing bases. How is this happening? Is it sorcery? What's going on?
I feel like it's got to be, like, they're not expecting him to run, so when they finally see he's running, it's too late to throw even him out.
It's the only thing I can come up with, right? And I don't know how long that will last, because, you know, presumably they will start watching you eventually. But he is like, he runs hard, but it's a tough watch, man. I mean, it is like this glob, and you can tell it's motoring, but it's not moving very fast. It's a weird visual. Derby? Thoughts?
Yes, loving. I mean, this absolutely explains that, you know, it's change of scenery, you know, playing for someone that's in a division or making a run at the playoffs, stuff like, you want to do everything. Josh has never been short of that. He'll run through a wall for anything, and that includes stealing bases. But also, that's enough. It's fun. It's great. Go, Josh. Run, Josh, run.
Yeah, we love to see it. All right. Another thing we love to see, well, we love to see half of this. The other half I feel a little bad about. But, you know, the Yankees are a disaster. The Mets are a disaster. Is this the curse of Juan Soto?
Ooh. Would that really impact both teams, though? I see where it could. It's just normally the one getting the superstar goes up while the other one goes down. Maybe some weird... I mean, this is the season of the mound portal, so why can't it also be the season of the Soto curse on New York?
Mark Schmidt, is he on there now? Did they switch? Do you want somebody on the other team? I don't know. I guess they're both on the Mets now, so it's a Mets-related curse, perhaps? I don't know. I feel like you've taken all the fun out of this. RB, what do you think?
Yes, and I think Juan would love to know that he's the curse. He's the root of the curse.
Do you think he would like that? Do you think he's just like, whatever, man, I don't care. Scott Boras said I don't have to care.
Yeah, he would lean into it. Like, yeah, absolutely, I'm a curse. What are you going to do about it?
Yeah, he feels okay about it. All right, who's the player? Okay, you can't pick somebody on your own team. But I want you to give me a player who is doing kind of badly this year, who you really want to see right the ship. So nobody on your team, and no cheating by giving somebody who was like on your team for 5 years and then left. Like, I don't care if they were ever in your farm system. It can be somebody who was in your farm system. If they played for your major league team, it's a no. So, but give me somebody who you're interested in who's struggling, which you want to see do better.
Zach Gallen. Having a bad year. Terrible year. I like to see him do better.
Terrible feels a little extreme for Zach Gallen, but I mean, I suppose I would like him to do better. Irby?
Christian Campbell?
How bad is he doing?
Not great. He's part of the... I know it's early in his career, and I know it was a clunker start and everything, and he should be fine, but it wasn't great. I don't know. I like the kid, and hopefully he figures it out next year.
I'm going with Spencer Strider. I need him to stay healthy.
There you go.
Spencer Strider.
That always helps.
yeah, there's that. All right, so... The Red Sox have extended Roman Anthony. Do you think, I'm not going to ask you if you think this like absolves Breslow of previous problems, because I hope I know your answer to that already. What I want to know is, do you think that some of the reason that they did this now was so they could be like, see, we don't have trouble relating to young players.
Yes.
We can get deals done.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, if you can't tell by my intonation, yeah, there was a correct answer to this.
Yeah.
Bo has given the correct answer.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yes. That's the answer to that question.
Yeah. Herbie, you
gotta agree as well.
Yeah. You don't want to get that wrong?
Yeah.
All right. Okay. So I'm curious, have you guys watched No Easy Outs yet?
I have not watched that one yet. No.
Okay. I was just curious if anybody, Irby, have you seen it yet? It's Stephen Kwan was on it. I just wanted to know everybody's opinion on this. This is like a little program that I think has some potential, but maybe needs some work. Have you seen it?
I have not.
Okay. You guys need to go watch that. We will table this question until next week because I have some thoughts on the writing and the animation, even though I think the spirit of it was a good idea. All right. We'll table that for now. Now, unfortunately, I don't even know if this is a moron alert. I don't even know if it is fair to morons to say that. This is like just like total like organization-wide incompetence. But unfortunately, I'm sorry, I have to read you guys something again like we did last week. It's brief, I promise. I'm just going to read a very short section of the letter from the Paulhead family. We're just going to zero in on this part. I only need one sentence here. After a detailed and robust process, our family will remain the principal owners of the Minnesota Twins. I don't even need to redo any of the rest of it. So basically, like, they couldn't find a buyer, right? Like, they couldn't, nobody wanted to buy this. It's the easiest thing in the world to sell as a sports team, and this thing was so unappealing that nobody wanted to buy it. Incredible. It's, robust process.
It's the robust. It's that and the and the word salad PR crap at the end of that statement that really stood out to me.
Yeah. Shall we read that too?
I think you should.
Hear the passion from our partners, the community, and Twins fans. That passion inspires us. Does it? This ownership group is committed to building a winning team. No, you're not. And culture. But this region, one that Twins fans are proud to cheer for.
I'm gonna have a little mini "I'll die on this hill" real quick. That was written by ChatGPT. I will die on this hill.
They did end with ChatGPT. Tell me how to make it sound like I care about people. But they should have told it not to end a sentence with a preposition. But yeah.
Well, that's because they used the free version.
Oh, hey-o.
Okay, let me just put this out there right now. Using the paid version of ChatGPT is not going to make you sound smarter. It's still going to make you sound like an idiot who used ChatGPT. But not out there.
Did you hear that, Joe?
It was pretty clear, though, that whoever put that into ChatGPT used the word passion in their prompt. Pretty damn clear.
Yes, and anybody who knows me knows I hate with a passion the word passion.
Yeah.
I used to throw out resumes where people use the word passion in the cover letter,
mm-hmm,
or passionate, especially because you have to use something and it's a weed out. And I can say this now because I don't work there anymore. I was 100% throwing away resumes if they used that word because it made me cringe. You got to start somewhere, right? I had somebody, now I'm going to get emails about that. Don't. Calm down. The ChatGPT says calm down. Wow. Yeah. The Twins. Yikes. All right. Perhaps a different breed of panic. Maybe. The Astros? Like, they're losing a lot of games lately. They are slipping in the standings. Seattle has caught up to them in the division. Texas, if they could just get it together, you guys.
Yeah.
Could probably catch them too. Houston looks like a team that's vulnerable to getting not just booted out of the division crown, but maybe even out of the playoffs. Hader just went on the IL. Mm-hmm. Like, I don't know. Are we worried? Is this wishful thinking on my part? Is this just wishful thinking? ChatGPT, tell me if this is wishful thinking.
No, it's not. It's not wishful thinking. I think they're in some serious trouble. And if there were more teams in the American League that had their shit together, they would be in some really serious trouble. Right now, this division is looking. I mean, I know what I said last week. Just consider this my mea culpa. This is looking like Seattle's division. I really don't see Houston, and certainly not Texas, getting past Seattle in this division. I think it's Seattle's division, which leaves Houston as a wild card team if they can qualify. And yeah, it's bad. There are some bad straights.
Yeah, I was going to ask you about that because you and I both had Seattle. Well, we all had Seattle in, and we all had Houston in.
No, I mean,
you
had
Houston out. So okay, so that's interesting. So yeah, so it's not a huge shift, I guess, at this point in the deadline or deadline post deadline playoff predictions, but okay, yeah. Well, Irby, what do you think? I mean, you already said you thought they were out. But.
Yes, and I will stick to those guns, but it's not the Houston division. You know, you don't control your own destiny anymore. It's Seattle to lose now. Houston, it's the same thing, but with the playoff, it's if the teams behind them keep it together or wake back up, they're in trouble. Houston has a chance of hanging on because of where we are in the season. They have that chance to hang on, but yeah, this is a team that not looking good, and I doesn't scare anybody come October.
No, yeah, I'm a little bit.
Seems bad. Well, terrible news. Remember at the beginning of the episode when I told you I needed 3 runs? Guess what, guys? Now I need 8 runs. Things have gone downhill.
Oh, gosh, just a bad day all around for lollygagging sports
here. This is a very bad day.
Oof.
Okay. Okay. But you know who's probably not having a bad day because he's been having a lot of good days lately? Andrew Vaughn. He's a new man. He's a new man. He left the White Sox. He went to the Brewers, and it's like he's a totally different ball player. What do we think? Is this just a fluke? Like, yeah, I'll show you now that I've been traded? Or is Andrew Vaughn, is this like the resurrection of the Andrew Vaughn that we thought we were getting when his career first got started?
Ooh. Right now, I'm going to lean into post-trade bump. But it's worth keeping an eye on.
Irby?
Can I come back? Like, this is fun to watch, so I'll just come back to it.
Okay, but you need to still give an answer.
Oh.
No, you still have to answer the question. You're just allowed to elaborate later if you want to.
We haven't seen the end of this.
Okay. Well, I believe in Andrew Vaughn because I want to. So, there. All right, speaking of the Brewers. They had something akin to an old-timers game, sort of. It was like an alumni home run derby. What do we think? Do we like this? Do we want to see more teams do this? They claim that other teams have been calling them and asking them about it because they would like to do it too. Like, do we like this? Do we want to see more of this? Or do we think this is stupid?
It's not stupid, but I don't want to see it. I guess it's
Go ahead and do it, but I don't want to watch. Okay.
Yeah, like that's just it. It's like, it's not my cup of tea, but other people might enjoy it.
Right, RB?
I'm good with it. Seeing some of your former players, sure, not the worst idea.
Yeah, I think this is especially for maybe fan bases like that that like don't have a lot going on outside of the fan base, outside of the area. Although it does, I mean, part of the problem I think is like you know you're dragging some people back out there who are like not very well thought of, Ryan Braun. I know. But perhaps the fan base there has maybe forgiven him a little bit more than the rest of baseball has. But, like, I don't know, man. Kind of gives you the icks. Like, I don't know about that. All right. Last thing. Manny Machado attempted the hidden ball trick. It didn't work. It was not really his fault. The pitcher, Peralta, evidently did not realize that the pitcher was not allowed to be on the mound during the hidden ball trick. Jared Duran, who was the runner at third, who they were trying to fool with the hidden ball trick, did realize this, pointed at the pitcher, the ump called a balk, and the run scored. So, like, maybe we need to stop doing the hidden ball trick if we're not people who know the rules. Yeah?
Yes.
Like, maybe there are only certain orgs that should attempt this, and one of them is definitely not the Padres.
Yes. But I do want to come back to this one.
Okay. Irby?
Absolutely hilarious. This is what you get for trying to make a pitcher think. But, yeah, nice try. Even home plate umpire C.B. Buckner didn't know what was going on either.
It's like the
That's not a shock.
Mound portal. No, it's a reverse mound portal.
Yeah.
It's somebody being on the mound where they're supposed to be and still effing everything up for you. Incredible. The mound portal has expanded its repertoire. Look out. Okay, Irby, you wanted to come back to Andrew Vaughn. Yes?
Yes, yes. I absolutely loving what we're seeing here. I think this is, we're finally starting to see what we always expected and what the White Sox hoped when they took him with the third pick of the draft back in 2019. Mm-hmm. This will continue, whether it continues with Milwaukee going forward. You know, I mean, he's not a free agent until 2027, so they've got one more year of this. But, no, I think this shows how bad he wanted to be out of Chicago. And to every NFL player out there whining about wanting to be traded, this is how you do it right here. You just keep your head down, do your job, and then when you get your opportunity, do what you're doing here. So, no, this is huge numbers. Sure, the numbers will come down a little bit, absolutely, but I think he is a better player than what we saw in Chicago last year and part of this year.
Yeah, I completely agree with you. I mean, there's a part of me that just, like, I really like Andrew Vaughn, and I feel terrible that he was wasting away in Chicago, so I just, like, want him to be better, so I'm trying to will it into existence. But I also think he actually is a way better player than that, and I don't know if it's the drain of having to play in a place like that every day, or the fact that, like, you're never going to see any good pitches because the person behind you is a garbage pile and the person in front of you is a garbage pile. Like, there's a lot of factors that I think might contribute to this. Also, you're probably not getting the best coaching. You know, we could go on. But point being, I like Andrew Vaughn, so I want this to be true, but I think there's, like you said, a good reason to believe it's true also. Mm-hmm. Hidden ball trick. Manny Machado, Bill?
Well, that's what I was going to talk about. Is like, is this a widening of the mound portal? That's why I wanted to ask you guys. Like, because
it could be.
I mean, this again, it was mound-related, and things going awry. But this time he was on the mound. The ball wasn't, but he was. The pitcher was. But the ball was with Manny Machado. So, I don't know. The mound portal seems to be intensifying.
Well, it's certainly eating more, right? Yeah. It's like we have discussed that, like, we think it is taking more, it's hungrier, or maybe it's just bolder. You know, it might be, it strikes me as one of those things that just could eat indefinitely, kind of like a demon, you know, like those mythical creatures endlessly eat. Like, you know, I think it's, we can't really say, like, oh, it's hungrier so much as, like, it's probably always insatiable, but it's gotten either bolder, like maybe it's taking more chances, or it's just become more effective. But yeah, I mean, it is consuming at a far higher rate. And this was a weird one because it doesn't strictly meet the definition of the mound portal, but it does look like it might be caused by the mound portal, which is interesting. And in this case, somebody didn't leave the mound when they should have, which is not strictly speaking when the mound portal acts. But, I mean, so, like, technically it's not a mound portal situation, and yet somehow I think it might still have been caused by the mound portal.
Right, that's what I'm thinking.
It's getting more creative. It's widened its repertoire. I don't know. I am concerned.
Are we reaching a point where we have to come up with a sacrifice that will appease the mound portal?
That's why I was saying you should throw your worst player into it. You should give it your worst player. Everybody picks the worst person on their roster. You feed it that person, and then it will leave you alone. I got some ideas. I volunteer. I feel like Dwight Schrute now, the whole, like, I think I would be good at picking that person. I volunteer to make that decision for every team. I will choose what you feed to the mound portal.
Couldn't we,
I will help you with this.
Couldn't we just feed it Rob Manfred, and everyone gets relief from the mound portal except for the Astros?
No, I don't think it wants Rob Manfred. Mm. I don't think that would be feeding the mound portal at all. I mean, I'm sure it would happily take an Astro, like it would take someone from any team, but I don't think feeding Manfred's going to do any good. It's not how it eats, that it doesn't feed on the commissioner.
See, we did it. We named it. We named it a portal. A portal. It does not obey our laws of time and space. It is a portal. It is evolving. It is growing. It is developing. Forget AI, forget robots. The mound portal will take us all down in the end. I say feed it and let it live. Let it grow.
Ooh.
There's not a pitcher out there that understands that. Frickin' pitchers.
All right, well, it's going to eat either way, right? The mound portal Life Finds a Way, as the movie that I never get tired of quoting says, which is only somewhat appropriate in this situation. The mound portal finds a way. So beware. Okay.
Dr. Malcolm would have been a good person to explain the mound portal.
I think he's been excellent at it.
Yeah.
And Dr. Malcolm would be a good choice for a lot of things. Yeah. So he could really help baseball. He could probably tell us what to do with the mound portal, too. Except he would probably give the same advice. All right. Let's move on. We got to talk about the Blue Jays. This is where I think, Bo, you and I may need to adjust, maybe, our playoff predictions. Because the Blue Jays, I mean, they're 70 and 50 coming into this recording. Boston's 4.5 back. New York is 6 back. They have the best record in the American League. I mean, I have a couple questions for you guys. I mean, my first one is just for you, Bo, and I guess for myself, which is like, all right, I don't know that I'm ready to concede the division here with Boston playing the way that they're playing quite yet. But I do think the Blue Jays, you know, I need to revise my prediction. I think they are definitely a playoff team, which means someone else is going to have to go. So we're going to factor that into your calculations. But so, Bo, just to you, have you reversed your position on Toronto in that regard?
I mean, they seem to have some serious staying power, which...
Yeah, they do.
I really thought by now they would have turned into a pumpkin. Clearly, they're not doing that. So, yeah, I think we have to revise that just a little, just a scotch.
Yeah, I think so, too. all right. So, but my question to both of you, then, is how are they doing this? I mean, because you look at that roster, and it's not that they don't have some good players. And it's not that they don't have some people who I think are better than they get credit for. I'm speaking very specifically about Ernie Clement, obviously, because I will never pass up a chance to speak on the greatest for Ernie Clement. But that's not enough, right? Like, some good hitters who are finally acting like good hitters, and a guy who can play every position and then somehow still hit 280 and never gets a day off isn't going to win you a division. It just doesn't work that way. So how are they doing this? How is this happening? Because that roster did not look like it was going to win anything. It looked like an expensive third-place roster. So how are they doing this?
I think maybe the baseball gods are paying them back for all of the times they tried to sign somebody and got spurned on the tarmac. That's
some light sorcery.
Yeah.
That's past grievances.
Yeah. I think the Blue Jays and their fans are finally getting a little bit of baseball god love because it's been going so bad in terms of signing players. So, no, I mean, look, they took a lot of risk on some players. Those risks are paying off. I think that's what we're seeing. And, I mean, it's mid-August. We're about to go into Labor Day, and this team is sitting here 20 games over 500, 4.5 up in their division, and that's including a Red Sox hot streak, and they're still only able to get within 4.5 games. It looks pretty solid Blue Jays to me.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's certainly to make the playoffs, if nothing else. And they look pretty comfortable at the front of the division as well. Too early, I think, to call the division race.
Sure. But
yeah, as far as playoff spots go, yeah, I mean, that would be tough.
That would be a Mets level September for them to not make the playoffs now.
Yeah, I mean, that would be an incredible fall. I mean, I guess technically it wouldn't be as bad as the Mets because it's really, they're all so close together. It would really only be like 7.5 games, I think,
to
drop out of the race completely. But still, I don't think that's going to happen. I don't think so, at least not at this point. Irby both thinks it's sorcery. I'm inclined to agree with him because I just will always agree with anyone who picks that. Irby, what do you think? How are they doing this?
Well, I'll try logic first and then we'll end with the sorcery answer. Because I do have one as well.
Excellent.
Logically speaking, like it's fascinating when you look at the moves that the Blue Jays have done the last few years, the big moves that they've made, signing Santander in the offseason, the trade for Varsho a couple of years ago. Those guys aren't getting the job done.
Mm-hmm.
It's the Clements. It's the Straws. It's the, to a degree, Springer even. As well, I mean, I know that was a bigger name that did work out, but baseball is so different. And if you don't hit on if you make big mistakes on your big signings, your big trades in other sports, it can really set you back. Baseball, it's one. It's like it hurts, but if you develop down below, if you're patient, and that's what Toronto, I think, is being rewarded the most, is the patience for, to a degree, Baby Vlad, but for Bo Bichette, the patience of guys like that, they're realizing that, yes, this is a top prospect. This is a big part of our future. That doesn't mean they're going to get it done their first 2-3 years. It might take a few years for them to be an everyday regular that really contributes. And Toronto is being rewarded for that.
I'm going to poke some holes in your argument because Bichette was actually better before. And most of these people were not part of the org.
But Bichette, okay, so he was good, and then but he struggled last year.
Yeah, and now he's okay.
He leads
so all you're doing is rewarding them for not trading them in his worst season.
Yes, yes, but...
But most of these people, but they're all outside, they're almost all outside hires, right? Like Springer, Clement, Straw, Jimenez, all of these people came from outside the org.
Yeah.
So that's not patience. That's astute trading.
No, okay, fair point. Fair point. So then I'll go with the sorcery answer.
Okay, you want to do sorcery? I have one more follow-up question for you guys. But, okay, so give me your sorcery answer, though.
They have Max Scherzer.
Okay, that will tie to my follow-up answer. And I think that's valid, by the way, what you're saying. Because one thing I was going to point out is that either one of you mentioned a single pitcher in any of this. Which I think is telling, because the biggest question here is this pitching shouldn't be good. How are they winning baseball games? So I guess the answer is they're just out slugging people, or it's the Max Scherzer sorcery factor. But does anybody want to comment on the fact that nobody mentioned a pitcher at any point during this discussion? Or are we just conceding to sorcery?
Because the pitching numbers are not great.
Yeah, they're not good, right? So they are just out slugging people, or it's the sorcery. Is it the blue eye or the brown eye? It's gotta be the blue, right?
Gotta be the blue. Yeah, it's gotta be the blue.
The blue.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They're the Blue Jays.
Yeah.
Golly, they only have a great one run record. They're at 19-14 in one run games.
I like how they're leading the division with half the run differential, right? Like Red Sox are at +96, the Yankees at +93, the Blue Jays are at +48 and up 4.5 games.
Hey, listen, man, I got a negative run differential. I also have the best record in the American League since the break. So, double middle finger to run differentials. I'm so sick of this. It doesn't mean anything. You only got to win the game you're playing right now. That's right, buddy.
So true.
All right. Anything else on the Blue Jays?
No. Sorcery. No. That was sorcery. The final Scherzer. Conclusion was sorcery. Right?
Yeah, it's got to be.
Okay. I tried logic. It didn't work. We're going to go with Scherzer.
You're right. You're right. You know what? You tried. Yeah. So sorcery.
What was,
all right. Well,
what was,
that's great.
What was that? What was that sorcery game in Big? The movie Big. Do you guys remember?
The Zoltar machine?
Yeah. It's clearly somebody with the Blue Jays went and visited one of those.
Oh, do you think somebody went to the Zoltar machine? That is interesting.
Yeah.
Interesting. Okay. Listen, I really want to find one of those things. I know what I would ask it. I'm sure you guys can guess what I would wish for. I can't say it because then it won't come true, but I'm sure everyone knows what I would wish for. I mean, obviously the Blue Jays got there first, so this is really a problem. But, oh man, how cool would it be to get a Zoltar machine at your house?
It'd be amazing.
This is not the first time I've thought about that, and it won't be the last.
We should all like just get one and we can all share it, right? Like just... We each have it for like a third of the year.
Yeah, I'm sharing it. That's cool.
All right, Irby, you're up. What do you got?
Well, I love run differential and always would argue for it, but I'm going to have to argue that sometimes it doesn't matter as much in front of you. So I will continue what you're saying, Samantha, because let's go out west.
Yeah.
The Dodgers and the Padres. The Dodgers, amazing run differential. The Padres, a good run differential. It is a totally different world out there now.
Yeah.
For the first time in the month of August since, I believe, 1977, the Padres lead the division. This is new. They've never done this before. I was one that called them out of like, great, when they made all these trades, like, I don't really care. Show me what you can do with it. Now, granted, I'm still going to hold on to that because I meant show me what you're going to do in October. But this is two teams going in vastly different directions. It's not even a statistical conversation, and I know that's very odd for someone like me to be doing. I would love to sit here and be like, let's look at the stats. Or like, it doesn't matter. You have to look at what's happening recently, not as a whole. Because as a whole, the Dodgers are a really good team. But right now, they're not. And they actually have the fifth worst record since July 4th. Only the Braves, Rockies, Nationals, and Rays have worse records than these guys. The Pirates are playing better than them since July 4th. Whereas the Padres are playing, what, winning two out of every three. It's July 4th, 23-12. They have a half game, as they've already played, as we record this right now. Obviously, the Dodgers could win tonight and tie it back up, but I mean, the Dodgers having a hard time playing the Angels right now, so shouldn't be saying anything about that. There's a couple factors here, and this is what I want to get y'all's take on, of where this is going. Not playoffs. I really want to cover playoffs right now, but more of this divisional race of who's going to put themselves in that division position. You know, whether it is a, you know, I mean, we're at a point now, it doesn't even guarantee that you get that pass through the wild card round. You may be there. But the Dodgers are looking long-term. They've been using the six-man rotation for quite a while now. And it, part of that is the introducing Ohtani back into it. But they are making it work. Well, no, I guess you're not making it work. You're utilizing it right now, and if that is something that's for the long-term planning. The Dodgers are dealing with injuries. The Padres are not. But the Dodgers are getting healthy. So the thing about these two teams that fascinates me of where this is going and what I want to get y'all's opinion on that of where this is going to end up in the division is the Dodgers have offense. They need pitching help. Well, they're starting to get some of those guys back on assignment. Like Snell just came back. Roky Sasaki went out on a rehab assignment on Thursday, he does. Kopech, Yates, and Scott all are expected next week to be throwing to live batters. So it looks like you're getting healthy just in time. The Padres, on the other side, have pitching. They need offensive help. So what they do out at the deadline, Freeman, O'Hearn, and Laureano, and those guys are rewarding them. So what is it? I mean, the Padres needed offensive help. They're getting it. The Dodgers need pitching help. It's starting to come back from injuries. But that's no guarantee. Where are you guys on these two? Can the Dodgers right this ship? Can they turn this around? Or the Padres just on a skyrocket towards winning the West?
You know, I'm going to lean there with the latter. I think it's the Padres. And the reason why, yeah, it's great that the Dodgers are getting some guys back in their pitching staff, but pitchers coming back from injuries is a heck of a lot different than hitters. Don't know what you're going to get out of these guys when they do come back. So I'm going to lean in on the Padres here. Samantha, I don't know about you.
I think I'm still leaning Dodgers because I feel like you have to show me before I'll believe it when it comes to the Padres. And, like, you've never done it before. Why would it be now? You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think your point is correct. Like, the thing with the Dodgers is that, like, they're playing the long game, like you alluded to, Irby. This is all about getting healthy for the playoffs. They knew they had some, let's say, wins to give. They probably don't care if they win 100 games, and they shouldn't, because that has proven to be completely useless. So do they want to win the division? Of course they want to win the division, but, like, at what cost, right? Like, it's like you take the chance in order to make sure you have healthy pitching for the postseason. Because right now, if things go well, you have too many pitchers. You can do stuff like maybe use Sasaki out of the pen. You know, this has been suggested by a couple of people that maybe that might be a good way to ease him back in. And you can be really careful with guys like Ohtani. You know, we'll all just have to watch Blake Snell more, which is kind of unfortunate. I have to stick with the Dodgers because I have to believe that, like, that level of talent is going to bear out, at least in terms of winning the division. They're obviously both going to the playoffs. But, like, there's a good argument, like, to the tune of, you know, what you just said, Bo, that it's like, yeah, okay, but, like, one of you said one way and one of you said the other way. And, Padres look pretty good, too. They've kind of got you over a barrel right now. So it'll be interesting.
Yeah, the Dodgers, I mean, sure, because of what you did in the offseason and everything, you look at that and then you look at the names and it's like, yeah, this should be something that rights the ship, that turns it around and starts gaining momentum. You know, every team goes through this, these ups and downs, and the Dodgers are just in a bad spot right now. I'm with you. I do think this team turns it around. There's just too much talent. There's just too much there. Yeah. The pitching, that starting rotation is just so deep and everything. It's just nice. I mean, the Padres are two on the credits. Like, it's not. This is nice to see. It's a pleasure to see. It's wonderful. These two, that we get a lot are answered here pretty quick. These two have six games against each other here over the next couple weeks. So I'm excited about that starting here this weekend of somebody can absolutely make a statement and put themselves four games ahead. Like that would be, you may be sitting here 2 weeks from now having a different conversation, and that's okay too.
You know, it does make you wonder if we're ever going to have a repeat World Series champion again. Because if look what the Dodgers did. You know, they win the World Series, they go out and they spend another $1 billion in the offseason. They bring in all these guys, and look where they're at. Are they the favorites in the National League right now?
I would still pick them.
Yeah?
I mean, you can make a good argument for Philly. I'm not buying Milwaukee.
Right,
yeah. Not as a World Series winner, especially because all these teams are going to the playoffs. They're all going to be in the postseason.
Yeah.
Right? So, I mean, if it's Dodgers versus the Fields, I'll take the Fields. If it's Dodgers versus any one individual opponent, I'd have a conversation with you about Philly. Anybody else? I'm taking the Dodgers.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
If it was a three-game series or a seven-game series, they're going to knock them out. So.
Maybe something to keep an eye on and have and a conversation to have in early November. We'll see how this all shakes out.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah, great stuff. And that's the beauty of sport, is that we get to watch it unfold right before our eyes. So, all right, well, the other one, a little more lighthearted here, that have fun with you guys. You know, sometimes we go to games, folks, we all go to those games, and sometimes it's, you know, to see baseball. But occasionally we go for the promos. You know, this is a fun night, a fun family night. I want to get this bobblehead, get this shirt, get this jersey, this hat, whatever it is, but we've already had one, you know, horrible night earlier this year when the Nationals decided to have a firework night on Bark in the Park night. Come on, guys, really? Everything? So how about some players? Let's focus on some players, on what could be some of the worst promos out there. Okay? So, all right. Well, the first one I have, the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, of California, whatever you want to say, they're going to have Lazy Night. Lazy Night. It's sponsored for Anthony Rendon. The Anthony Rendon Lazy Night. Everybody sitting in their seats are just going to hand them $5 for just sitting there doing nothing. Should come from Anthony Rendon.
Is one lucky fan going to walk out of there with a lazy boy?
That would be great. Would be great if you could get a sponsorship on that. Of Anthony Rendon. Here's money for doing absolutely nothing. So that's first one. Next up, the Yankees. The Yankees, and maybe this will fix them and everything, have a beard trimming night. They can just get statues of Devin Williams and just shave that beard right off.
I feel like Yankee fans want to do a lot more than that.
I'm concerned about that. You might have to do it like using an effigy.
Yeah.
And listen, if anybody, again, back to sorcery again, if anybody is able, like, has some skill and is able to use that thing effectively as a poppet, like, oh my gosh, you guys, there's going to be a murder.
If you have some statue out there, there'll be straight razors cutting this thing.
Listen, man, proxy magic is very real and effective, okay? So I'm worried about what will happen to Devin Williams. I mean, best case scenario, he just loses the facial hair. Best case scenario. Do you trust Yankee fans with a weapon?
No.
And a poppet? Because I don't.
See, I don't trust them even if Devin Williams was having a season that wasn't catastrophic.
Still sun safe.
Don't give the Bleacher Creatures weapons, man. Don't do it.
My next one is the Tampa Bay Rays will have Shane McClanahan first aid kit and AED night, because that kid can't stay healthy. He is having tried to come back again this year. He is having season-ending surgery. Shane has not pitched since August 2nd, 2023.
2023?
Yes, yes. Over 2 years since the last time he pitched in
MLB. That's a Lance McCullers situation.
Yeah, well, hopefully he can come back. And then the last one, I almost forgot, but that might be a good thing here for the Oh, I Almost Forgot night. The Minnesota Twins are good at that. Oh, yeah, they had Joe Ryan. You made all these trades. You sent everything away, and then there's poor Joe Ryan still stuck on that roster and everything. But that night you could actually turn into something fun. Maybe we'd have, like, a nostalgic night where all those things from our youth that we forgot, like, oh, I forgot about those. Just have a bunch of those things.
That would be
celebrate.
Fun.
Yeah, like we can make something fun here. We can make some money, but since it's the Twins...
You're just trying to make things okay for those Twins people.
Yeah, I forgot about them. All in the middle, you're like...
I can forget about my team's owner.
Yeah, so that's what I have. You guys have any that you want to throw out? Some of the worst player promos? Someone that would just... It wouldn't go over well? Because usually it's the popular players that we don't want to do the other guys. Y'all got any?
I do think on that for a minute. It's very hard to top Tim Anderson night at the Cleveland Class A affiliate where that they said everyone named Tim gets free admission if they sit down on the grass. So I feel like I can't top that. I mean, I don't want to, guys, I have no sense of humor about the gambling stuff right now, so, like, I can't because I'm upset because my team got screwed, so, I can't have, a casino night with Emmanuel Class A. Bo, do you have any? I don't know, our viewers were better.
Yeah, I can't think of one right now.
One of the ones I didn't have, maybe I should have put on there, is Sandy Alcantara, you know, have a magic night. See if anyone else can make their career disappear.
So mean. It's really funny, though. And it would be great. You could have a stage magician. I love a stage magician. I even like the bad ones.
Yeah.
Like, it's so great. So fun. I love a magic show. Like, 100%. Ooh. Even the ones that are made for, like, five-year-olds. Love a magic show.
Okay. Not a player, but what would, and this might be something to appease this particular entity, what would a mound portal night look like?
Oh, you just feed it stuff. Like, all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, but what's the giveaway? Like, what do fans get?
At the end of the night, everything that the fans do, we put it on the portal and we burn it all. Have a pyre.
I don't know. I think maybe you would have to give away something that they could feed to the mound portal. Like, you get it and you get to feed it. Like, you know, like when you go to the zoo and you put your quarter in and you get the handful of corn to feed to the ducks or whatever.
I just thought it's, you just made me think of something that's so wrong. I'm going to say it anyway. Everyone gets a little Jose Altuve.
Or do they just let you pick up Jose Altuve? Because it wouldn't be that hard. It's not that heavy.
Be about the same.
Oh, wait. Are we back to the poppets again? You just throw your little Jose Altuve poppet
in the portal. There you go.
There you go.
Jose Altuve.
There you go.
I cannot believe how many witchcraft references I have gotten into this show. I'm so happy right now.
All right, Irby, anything else before we move on?
No, that's all I got. I'd love to hear from listeners if you got your promos and what nights we shouldn't have, but thank you, we should.
Yeah, let us know that.
I'm fairly certain, Samantha, you can mix in a little bit more witchcraft references here. Let's get into the Rookie of the Year races, which is interesting in the American League, right? Because pre-Nick Kurtz call-up, all the rage was Jacob Wilson, also a Sacramento A. Well, now you've got Nick Kurtz, who recent polling has him ahead of Jacob Wilson. So what are we doing here with the American League Rookie of the Year race? Are they going to split and cost each other the Rookie of the Year? And we're going to end up with a Roman Anthony or Noah Cameron You know, the Ross Perot's of this group. Are we going to end up with one of them instead of Nick Kurtz or Jacob Wilson? Because obviously it's got to be one of them, right?
Well, actually, in this scenario, like, I think Jacob Wilson would be the Ross Perot and Roman Anthony would be Bill Clinton by that logic.
Also true.
So, that's tough, but yikes. Nobody wants to be Bill Clinton or Ross Perot in this scenario. You're just praying that you're the one who gets to be George Bush.
right? Yeah.
And I think the George Bush of this scenario is probably Nick Kurtz. But, or Bob Dole? No, it's Bob Dole, right? I'm saying that wrong. George Bush would no longer be in the equation. It would be Bob Dole, right? Mm-hmm. So I guess you do, so Nick Kurtz is Bill Clinton. And Jacob Wilson is Bob Dole.
I told you to get witchcraft into this.
And Roman Anthony. Is this witchcraft? Ross Perot does feel a little bit witchcrafty, doesn't he? I don't remember a single thing about him, except for this. but yeah, I mean, I do wonder a little bit about the split. I mean, I don't know that that's actually how voters operate under this, in this capacity, because they're not... I don't know that you have a bunch of people who are rooting for that specific team who can't make up their mind, and so they split the vote. What I wonder about is Kurtz, that's the hot pick, right? That is the hot pick.
Yeah, yeah.
So I wonder if Wilson, and we don't know, what this is going to look like at the end of the season, but does he almost lose out here because of the shiny object factor? Or does the shiny object people split with the steady, slow and steady people, and then there, you have your Ross Perot situation again, and Roman Anthony wins. Like, it's possible. It's very possible, I think.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Ross Perot. How did we get here?
You know what's interesting? Because of Wilson's forearm injury, Wilson and Kurtz might end up playing close to the same amount of games this year. If you think about it.
Interesting.
Right,
which I mean, probably strengthens Kurtz's case.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Yeah, I mean, yeah, is this something that could literally go down to which one has the more splashy final week?
Yes, absolutely. Yes,
Irby, how about you? Where are you at with the AO rookies?
This is an easy one before the injury for me. It was Jacob Wilson all along on the long term. He's been there basically the whole season. But, yeah, this injury might absolutely hand this over to Kurtz and everything. But I'm going to stick with Jacob just because I think he has been a big part of this. I mean, you could even argue it's they were winning games earlier in the year. Now they're not so much. So, it's really Jacob. No, it doesn't work that way. But it will be an A. I hear the conversation for Anthony. I do, but no, it will be one of the A's. So I'm going to go Jacob Wilson, but I wouldn't be shocked if it's Kurtz. The shiny object, as you said.
All right. Anything else on that one, Samantha, before we go to the National League?
No. I mean, I agree with you. I hope it's Wilson. I think he deserves it, but we shall see. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I agree with both of you on that. Okay. The National League. This feels like it's still wide open, right? Drake Baldwin, obviously, Augustin Ramirez, Isaac Collins, Cade Horton with the Cubs. I'm just not putting Jacob Mizorowski in this list. I'm just not doing it. He got the All-Star game after 5 starts. We're not doing this. Anyone else, I'm okay with. So what do you guys think? Is this still a... Up in the air race? Is there a favorite? Do you have a favorite? Where are we at here, Samantha?
I don't. I'm very underwhelmed by what's on offer here.
Yeah.
So I don't really have a favorite because to me, the interesting stuff is happening in the American League. That's where the interesting candidates are. All of these people are fine, except I'm with you. The Mizorowski thing is ridiculous. And I think if I have a part of this at the end, it's was cute. It was a fun idea. I mean, but, you know, that's not Milwaukee's only candidate. So I think it's interesting. I mean, there's some politics involved in these always, sometimes. I don't think it's going to come into play in the American League, but it might in the National League, particularly if Milwaukee continues on the sort of, like, heater. You're not getting an MVP candidate out of there, right? So, like, that's a possibility, certainly. But, like, I can't isolate any of these guys and say, performance-wise, this is my guy, not at this point. And maybe, maybe somebody will separate themselves from the pack. But right now, I'm looking at them and going, yeah, you're all fine. But, like, I am underwhelmed. I'm not excited about the field here at all.
I agree with you, like, 100%. The AL is definitely the one that's more, it's got more juice to it, right?
Yeah.
Irby, how about you? Where are you at with the National League kids?
Well, I'll follow what y'all said. It's, yes, underwhelmed. There's nothing, no one running away with this. There's nothing really sticking out. So because of that, Mizorowski absolutely will win this.
Oh, no!
I'm not saying I'm doing that vote. I'm not saying I'm making
you know
that
what?
Vote. Absolutely will happen.
You know what?
During the politics that you said it, Brewers make that they win this division, they keep this going, they end up with the best record, 100% Jacob Mizorowski gets it.
Are you going to put him back in jail?
You know, no. I'm not going to put him back in
jail.
Don't
shoot the messenger.
But I am.
Well, that's what I mean. I was like, because it's really not his fault, but also I don't like hearing it.
I am not going to put him in jail, but I'm seriously considering feeding him to the mound portal.
Ooh. Oh, no. That might be worse.
Don't you envision, like, if you get swallowed by the mound portal, you immediately go see Beetlejuice? That's what I picture. You get swallowed by the mound portal, bam, you're face-to-face with Beetlejuice. And I'm not going to say his name again. I've already said it twice.
I'm not a big fan of Beetlejuice, so I don't... That's not generally where my brain went, but, like, I think the sentiment of that is correct. But, like, I don't know that it would be Beetlejuice specifically so much as that you would be in a universe akin to what happens in Beetlejuice. Like, wherever you go, it's not going to be good, right?
It's not,
like,
no.
So
you go into, like, a Tim Burton painting.
Yeah, like, and very Tim Burton. Yeah, do you end up, I mean, you could end up, it could be Edward Scissorhands. I don't know.
Okay.
Like, it could really be any of that.
Tim Burton to make a baseball movie.
It's okay. How about one of the trees from A Nightmare Before Christmas? It gets its own tree. The mound
portal. That's kind of how I think of it, is that, like, when you went through the mound portal, you would come out of one of those tree doors into that clearing, you know, and then you would need to presumably pick another door and go through it. So they wouldn't be holidays. They would be something else. I'm not sure exactly what. But, yeah, that's the visual I'm getting off of this.
I think either one works.
For sure.
Yeah. I think either one works for the mound portal.
It might be both. I mean, I just wonder if the whole thing is just very Tim Burton. You know what I mean? And then there would be elements coming from Edward Scissorhands, from The Corpse Bride, from Beetlejuice, like from Nightmare Before Christmas. It's probably all mixed up in there. I mean, do you think that thing really sorts stuff properly? I you know, probably a big old mess in there.
Yeah,
probably got a little. What was he? Didn't he do the Sweeney Todd remake too?
Yeah.
Who knows what's rattling around in there? But I'm sure it's weird and probably not a great place to be.
So in case Mr. Burton just happens to be a fan of the show, hi, Tim. If Jacob Mizorowski wins the NL Rookie of the Year, we're going to need a baseball movie from you, sir, about the mound portal.
If Jacob Mizorowski wins Rookie of the Year, we're probably all going to throw ourselves in the mound portal.
Can't be worse,
but,
right?
Yeah.
Can't be worse.
Yeah. Hi, Tim. If by some chance you're a baseball fan and you're listening, we love you. I love your movies. And we would love to see weirdo baseball. Weird, creepy baseball. I mean, that would be like my favorite thing and my other favorite thing came together. Creepy baseball. I can't think of anything better. Amazing. And by the way, in case anyone cares, it's a sadness, but Austin Hedges is currently pitching for the Cleveland Guardians because things have really gotten out of hand.
He's got a hell of an Ephus pitch.
Oh, he's awful. He's awful. But he has an opportunity for people to see Austin Hedges take the mound. is very Ephus. It's the Ephus-y of Ephus. Ephus-iest of the Ephus pitches. But to his credit, he does not give up a lot of runs. I won't say that much.
Okay. All right. One more before we call it a week. I thought, you know, those Yankees, they've been in the Hurt Locker for a while now. And it really got me worried about some of the guys on this roster. Like where are they going to work? You know? Like, I mean,
well, Devin Williams has already been murdered, so that takes...
where are they going to work? I mean, at this point, I wouldn't trust the Yankees to clean up the mound portal. I mean, it's bad, bad, bad. So I decided I was going to be proactive and come up with some career paths for some of these Yankees. And I got five on this list. So bear with me here. We're going to start with Mr. Devin Williams. Mr. Devin Williams, I've got him slated to be to transition into a sludge cleaner role. Because if there's anyone that knows anything about tossing around sludge, it's Devin Williams. Yikes.
What is sludge?
It's like gunk and oil and whatnot that gets caught up in machinery.
He's got to clean it up.
You want him to be one of those people that cleans crime scenes? Like, were they the people who have to, like, clean, like, blood out of your carpet?
I mean, every appearance has been a mound crime scene, so sure.
I'm about to say, yeah, he could be, that's the twist in his story, is he's the one that created the crime scene, but he's cleaning it up.
Okay, so poor Devin Williams, just in case you're keeping track, during the last hour or so of this podcast, has been murdered by fans, fed to the mound portal voluntarily, and now he's cleaning up a crime scene of his own making.
Yeah.
I'd watch that show.
I would, too.
Absolutely, yeah. Okay, Giancarlo Stanton is going to join fellow ancient people as a Walmart greeter. I mean, that's what old people do, right? They become the Walmart greeter.
I hope old people are retired, honestly. But, like, yes, I guess it's like things are bad and you have to get a job when you're 80, which is mean. No one should have to have a job when you're 80. But Giancarlo, the way he's going, I don't know. You know, I mean, yeah, he can work at Walmart. He can be a greeter. He can be the person who, like, pushes a cart at you and it, like, takes you out, but, like, he can't find the lawn furniture aisle.
All right. Carlos Rodon. You know those mall carnivals, like in the parking lot? Like you go to a mall or those little county, little, the roving carnival that has the rides they put together on site that no one wants to ride because they really don't feel safe. I feel like he would be a good security guard for the parking lot carnival. Honorable mention, if you can come up with a side act he could do at the carnival.
Ooh, interesting. I don't think ours had security guards. They were mostly in church parking lots. By the way, this was, when I was in high school, literally the easiest place to get beer was the church carnival.
Of course, yeah.
Which is hilarious. Like, I'm telling you, like, there, so if you just go in the basement of a Catholic church and you can show them literally anything, you can show them your field house ID from your high school, and they'll be like, sure, have a beer. Great. Just FYI, kids. Obviously, no security there. So, I mean, but we could give Carlos... Yeah, see, I don't know. Those rides are scary, man. Like, you can't get on those. You know somebody who doesn't... Somebody with Carlos Rodon level of skill put those things together in the parking lot, like, that morning. Please don't go on those. But he could be... You know, he could run that game. You know the game that has those things that look like a weird puppet that has fur around its whole body, and you throw, like, a tennis ball at the thing? Uh-huh. You know? Uh-huh. I feel like that game speaks to me, and it says Carlos Rodon. I don't know why. He doesn't look like those things. But I feel like he might be the guy who runs that game. It's just a feeling that
I have. I can see that, yeah. Just, you know, let's hope he doesn't show them how to throw.
Well.
All right. Trent Grisham. Just, you know what he looks like to me? Just persona, looks, the whole bit. Trent Grisham just screams bounty hunter in Vegas to me. So we're going to make Trent Grisham a bounty hunter in Vegas.
Bounty hunter in Vegas. Interesting. Okay. But what is his... Okay, so... But what's he working? I mean, I'm assuming he's working, like, low-end casinos.
Yes,
right?
Exactly,
because I don't think that... I'm pretty sure in a high-end casino, you can't go in there as a bounty hunter because casino security is either protecting the person or they're nabbing the person. So, yes, he's working, like, what, like, the worst casinos? Like,
yeah,
where like, the dumbest worst ones are, like, the ones by the airport?
Yeah, crappy hotels? He's definitely on Fremont Street in casinos that still have cigarette girls that sold cigarettes to Elvis Presley. That's what I'm talking about. That's where he's at.
Yeah, the places that still have the same carpet.
Yep.
From like '70s.
Yep.
Yep. I had a little dip for him, but it will work into that. He can dress up as Mario, and that's how he gets close to his targets and everything. The mustache and everything. He just looks like he could cosplay Mario.
not Luigi, Mario.
No. He's Mario. He's Mario. It's not. Doesn't have the same look, but he's a little bit shorter. Mario, not Luigi.
All right. And, okay, last, certainly not least, we're going to have to find Mr. Aaron Boone something to do. So, a little nod to those Bull Durham enthusiasts. Aaron Boone is going to sell old lady Kenmore's at Sears.
Well, they confirmed there was still a Sears, right? Like, the Sears still exists. There is a Sears for him to work at.
Yes.
So,
in fact, there's so few of them, he could rotate.
Oh, like a roving...
a roving Kenmore's.
Is it a fridge? Is that a fridge or a washing machine? The lady Kenmore.
I want to think it's a washing machine. But it could be a refrigerator.
So the roving washing machine. Salesman. Yeah, I truly don't know. Maybe it's both. I don't know. Doesn't Kenmore make both of those items or made both of those
probably.
Items? Probably. Like a vague memory of that.
Yes.
I don't know if that's true. It's a good job for him. It's not, actually, and yet it is. I don't know.
All right. Any honorable mentions you guys want to toss out there? Any other players you want to help find jobs with the Yankees?
Gus and Penny are going to have a new job. Their job is the thing with me.
Okay, fair.
Bobby Bonilla would probably kill them. I will be honest. Bobby Bonilla has not been great with other dogs. Simone is afraid of her. Baby Wolf is afraid of her. He destroys this dog. Everyone's afraid of her, even though she weighs like less than... you know, 1/10 of a normal dog. So I don't know how this would go. Like, you know, angry dachshunds, more dachshunds, maybe not great. I don't know. I'll work it out.
Herbie?
I'll go back to Aaron Boone. If Sears doesn't work out for him or anything like that, I was thinking maybe he could take the job for, like, I don't know, the Angels or something. Send him out there. He can be their new manager if it's not going great before. But, yeah. Can't you see the Angels doing that to replace?
Yeah. Oh, okay. All right. Hang on. Real quick. Back to the Yankees. Like, who would be the Bull? Right? Like, that was one part about Bull Durham. The one player who couldn't hack it ends up being the Bull at the end of the movie. Which Yankee would be the Durham Bull?
Probably one of those guys they traded for at the deadline that blew up one of the bullpen pitchers. Jake Bird, maybe.
Jake Bird.
Wait, no, it's Volpe.
You think it's Volpe over Jake Bird?
Yeah, well, I don't know. Do they even trust you? Would you even trust Volpe to be the Bull at this point? You might make Jake Bird the Bull, but, like, don't we need to, like, Anthony Volpe needs a job, right? And, like, what is his job? Is he...
True.
Like, what is a job where your entire purpose is to, like, knock things over? Is he a bowler now? Like, I don't know, but you have to aim for that. Like, what is that? I'm, like, picturing, like, is there a job where just, like, knocking stuff off of somebody else's dining room table is what you do? Breaking other people's things.
A destruction derby driver.
Yeah, or maybe he just works in demolitions. You know, maybe he's one of those people that, like, knocks things down. Like, when the people that have to get... called in to knock down, like, the condemned building. Maybe that's what he does now.
Devin Williams would just drive a car into it.
The bullpen Devin car. Williams would be trying to drive the car somewhere else and drive the car directly into it.
All right. Well, wherever you're listening to Lollygagging Sports, give us a like, subscribe to the show, help us out with that algorithm so we can get some more lollygaggers in here. But for this week, we're done. We're out of here. Until next week, watch some baseball. It's good for you.